Get my water close enough.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Awaken to Happiness Now Global Series. And I'm so excited that today my good friend Sharon Hess is with us. And Sharon's been on our show before multiple times. We always have so much fun. We do, exactly. We have such wonderful, expansive conversations that, you know, I love it. So for those of you who don't know Sharon, she's been with us before many times, so you may know, but the first time on video, I think. So, So Sharon's gift and expertise is helping others to see how they can create the success that they want in life and business. And while creating and running million-dollar businesses, wow, I can't even say it. She was also studying and teaching universal laws and how they apply in our everyday lives. I love the practicality of your work, Sharon. So I'm so glad do that. And so now Sharon blends her life experience, business know-how, and understanding of universal laws into strategies that bring results. And her keen insight helps those that have a bigger vision for themselves experience how to create an amazing life and business at the level that they desire. So Sharon believes that we all have hidden potential and will help you find your path to abundance while using the compassion and humor she is well known for. And that's what I love. One of the things I love about you, Sharon, is like we always have so much fun because we make it light, or you make it light. And at the same time, you do share so much compassion, you know, with you have an understanding and a compassion for what people are going through because you've been there. Exactly. We've all been there, right? So exactly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I always enjoy connecting with you as well because I think you do the same thing. I think you can bring very high esoteric level understandings and like pull it down and bring it here, because why do we study all of this? It's so that we can have a more enjoyable life and manifest what it is we do want instead of what we don't want.
Yeah, and manifest what we want with ease, right? So for me, that's one of my cornerstones or something. Anyway, I love ease in my life in all areas. And so I'm really good about having ease in my life because I like that. So
it's optional, right?
Exactly. It's like, yeah, I don't like
that. That doesn't mean we don't go there sometimes, though.
We do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how, you know, what you share with your community, with your clients, with, you know, with your groups about ease in life, ease with money, ease with business, ease with, you know, creating what you desire in life.
You know, well, it's kind of interesting. That's such a complicated topic, isn't it? And the reason why is because what I teach is that, you know, on the highest esoteric level, we all come from the same creator, right? Mm-hmm. I use the G word. I talk about God. A lot of people, you know, will say universe, love source, divine source, creator, whatever works for you, use what works for you. Mm-hmm. But on the highest level, once our soul was created and we decided to become embodied and experience this wonderful world that we're in, we somehow disconnected and thought that we're separated from that. And so the struggle comes from trying to disconnect even more, right? I found that that's what happens with a lot of my clients. It's like they'll be feeling good and wonderful and everything's going along, you know, the way it should. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is going too good. This can't be right. And so they'll create their own kind of chaos. Mm-hmm. And you know, the world is full of chaos. I'm not going to say that, you know, you can look and see all the chaos that's going on. However, it's not real. And you know, it's all a matter of perception. It's all a matter of how do you view it? How do you look at it? Every single thing in this world is of God, everything. Mm-hmm. So we're the ones who view it as good, bad, or indifferent. And always, you know, I teach there's always a gift within everything. And I was gonna do a video on this, so I will share it with your audience, okay? But I was thinking the other day, how what happens is, you know, we get this divine inspiration, right? And we just absolutely know that it's part of our trajectory and that's where we're supposed to go. And so we jump off the cliff. Mm-hmm. And because we jump off that cliff knowing that because, you know, God is there, the universe is there, we're going to land on our feet, right? But what happens is we're going down to the bottom, somewhere along the way, we go, oh shit, what did I do? And we start flapping our arms and we try to literally like fly back up of the cliff that we jumped off of, and we create the turmoil that makes us smack hit the ground instead of landing gently on our feet. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, because you know we literally hit the ground, we go, oh no, that wasn't what I was supposed to do. You know, I hit the ground, so that was it, but that's not the case. It probably was what you were supposed to do, but you're the one who stopped it from happening. That makes sense?
Exactly, yeah. Because we go into doubt and we go into second guessing ourselves, right?
Right.
And that stops the creation.
Right.
Right.
So that's what I see happen all the time. I thought this was a good way to explain it. I mean, there's a lot of other things involved in that. But what we're supposed to do then is to just, you know, pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and, you know, leap again. Because you're going to get over the ego dissonance and allow yourself to land. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's really cognitive dissonance, okay? But it's when your ego kicks in and you're going against the belief that you've always had either about yourself, your work, your business, the people around you, whatever it is that you're going against, when you hit that point that you have to totally release that erroneous belief about you, the world, you know, your business, whatever it is, that's when dissonance sets in and your mind will do everything it can to not allow you to let go of that belief and bring on the new one that's going to support you.
Oh, wow. And sometimes we don't even know what those beliefs are, do we?
No, but here's what I discovered. And I discovered this with myself because of something I was doing, right? So what happened when I hit that point of either, you know, let go of that old belief, latch onto that new belief and, you know, and just soar with it. What I did was I took everything around me and I turned it to the opposite of what it really was to make it look like to support the old belief that I had. So I was thinking through that and I thought, okay, so what we can do is we can, when we hit that point of dissonance, and I hope you understand that cognitive dissonance, when we hit that point, like it's, you know, okay, oh my God, what did I do? I'm crazy. I shouldn't have done that. We want to run back, right? Mm-hmm. So when you get that point of running back, if you'll stop at that moment and you will ask yourself and your higher self, you know, or just however you do it, go into meditation, call a healer friend, whatever works for you, stop and go, okay, what belief is so challenged in this moment that I'm willing to change reality into what it's not in order to uphold that erroneous belief. Mm. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because we, you know, we love our miscreations. Absolutely love them. You know, we create something, we think it was hard to create it. And even though we know in our heart of hearts that we're not supposed to hold on to it, we will do everything in the world to make it look pretty to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And we hold on to stuff because it's what we know. It's what we're familiar with. It's an old story that keeps playing out, right?
Exactly. The amazing thing is once you let go of one belief, it's kind of like a domino effect, right? It's like you let go of this one erroneous belief and all of a sudden it's like the veil's lifted and you start seeing all the other stuff around you that you have that's been supported by that belief. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you grab all these little supports that are not real. So when you grab onto that new supportive, wonderful, yes, this is my universal truth. When you grab onto that belief and you start operating from that belief, then you start chipping away all those other little beliefs, and you start supporting yourself with the real, the true, the universal support beliefs. And that's when you start, it's funny, I'm sorry, my guides are so funny. I just thought about that, you know, it's like the story of the three little pigs. Mm-hmm. Instead of the house of sticks, then you start building your house with bricks, okay?
Okay, I'm trying to relate that to this as well. So, but for some people, oh yeah, okay.
Don't you love when you have a question and it's like the answer is like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah, because the sticks and straws and all that kind of stuff is not going to work. You know, it's not. But it's like you think it's going to because it's what you know. It's what you've always done, and you want it to. Sometimes even that you want it so badly. Right?
Right. Right.
Until you know, see something different or experience something different or just get that awareness or knowing of something different.
Well, it's when you're in discomfort, okay? Whenever you're in discomfort, you know, it's like they say life is just outside your comfort zone, but that's the reason why. So when you go into discomfort, when you go into that cognitive dissonance, when you go into that, you know, like if you're like trying to uphold the belief, like just furiously, you need to stop and look at it, okay? And try and ask yourself, what is this? It's the same thing as like, you know, like I know, like I know, like I know. If somebody pisses me off, there's something there I need to look at, okay? Mm-hmm. And if I stop and I look at it, then I will get what it is, that I'm, that my higher self is trying to show me. And that'll show me what I'm need to start, you know, letting go of. So anytime we're in that discomfort, anytime you're in discomfort, you need to stop and you need to feel your way into it, right? To see what it's trying to show you.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times in the past when people would say, oh, they're your mirror or something like that, or it's like, I never got it. It's like, what the heck does that even mean? You know, so, or that, you know, you're reacting to it because you've done that yourself. Like, I haven't done that. You know, but yeah, we've done stuff in, you know, many, many lifetimes, you know, for those of us who believe in lifetimes, anyway, we've done everything. And so sometimes when we're reacting to something or to somebody that we don't like, it's because we have done that or been that at some point.
Either that or something that we fear that's within us. We may have never done it and we may have never acted on it, but if it's still an energetic part of our being, then that does not serve us, then someone else may be showing us, you know, hey, what? You got this within. You need to get rid of this. You need to let this go because one of these days you might just act on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to me, when you say someone's a mirror, I always laugh and say, you know, there's mirrors I love. And then there's mirrors I don't like at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't grow and learn and expand in total comfort, because you know it's easy to love the lovable, right? So yeah. that may sound like, you know, two truths in one, but you know it really is. So that's why when you get discomfort, when you feel uncomfortable, that's when you're at the precipice of making a huge shift and change inside of you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we don't like discomfort, but you know what? It serves us well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When you're in that uncomfortable space, sometimes it's the opening of something so brand new and so different that you're not used to, but that you've right. been asking for.
Right. And then, but then because, you know, we have free will, right? We have this whole free will thing. So then that in that moment, we have to choose. And here's the thing. If you're not ready to learn that lesson, if you are not ready to make that leap, it's perfectly fine to choose to pass on it in that moment. But know that it will come back, and it might come back in a package, not quite as pleasant. That's what I always say. You know, like the universe supports us on our journey, and when we're going through something and it's guiding us, you know, the universe responds. It does not dictate, right? Mm-hmm. So we're the ones doing all of this. So if you pull back and you go, nah, I'm not ready to learn that one now. I'm not going to do that right now. It will come back. But like I said, you don't know how it'll come back, right? So what I love and what I love to tell people is we just really have to become our own detectives, mm-hmm. right? we need to be diligent on understanding ourselves and looking at what's going on. And the minute that something gets like shaky or feels like it's crumbling, that's the most important time in your life or in your business to step back and say, what am I holding on to? What outcome am I invested in that is creating this chaos within my life and business?
I love that. What outcome am I invested in? You know, and sometimes when we're invested or vested in an outcome, we can't see anything else, right?
Well, no, and it might not be in our highest good. I mean, the universe, listen, I have had some of the most amazing things happen to me in my life. I could have never written that script, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's something like, it's like, oh, I just knew if I had that or it happened that way, that my life would be wonderful. But later on down the line, I found out I was so saved from something horrible, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So you never know what you're saved from. Mm-hmm. If something takes a different turn for you, it's probably because if you kept going down that path, there was going to be something very unpleasant. And so we need to learn. That's where our trust and our faith really comes in, right? So, and it's not easy, but I try to live my life understanding that everything in my life is divinely guided, whether I acknowledge that or not, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have free will, I have choice. I get to choose my desires. I get to choose what I want to manifest. However, the how is not up to me. And that's something I never did understand. You know, everybody go say, well, you know, the desire and all is yours, but the how is none of your business. And I was like, what the hell do you mean by that? Of course I have to figure out how it's going to happen. But when we do that, we're operating totally from our thinky brain, and we leave our heart out of the equation, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it means by the how is none of your business. That doesn't mean that you don't do anything. That doesn't mean that you don't take action. Because the only way that the universe can give you course correction is when you're in action, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And so what we really need to do is start looking at the results. But here's another caveat. When you look at the results and you see it, we still want to hold on to it. That's that investment in the outcome, right? It's not working, but we try to convince ourselves, no, I've got to keep doing it, right? So we really need to learn how to pay attention to those, man, it's time to let go times, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing that I've been holding on to some stuff for the past too long.
I do it too.
And so now I'm at the point, it's like, all right, it's time. And I was saying this to my daughter just last night. She goes, oh, finally. Thank God, Mom. It's like, oh, my God, really? So even she...
Doesn't it feel wonderful, though? It's, like, fabulous. Like, when you finally do make that decision, I started recently, crazy thing, but I'm on these freaking email lists and stuff that just distracts me and takes my attention away and my focus away, and that's why I did it, right? Because I wanted that distraction. So I started deleting all of them and unsubscribing so I make sure I don't get them again and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of it, it's like I sat here and went, oh my God, I just made space for something better, right? Yeah, so we, because here's the thing, our day and our time is completely taken up, right? So if we don't make space for the new to come in, where's it going to come?
Exactly. And sometimes we don't know what that new space is or what it's going to look like or, you know, what's just waiting to be birthed, you know, and created in the next, you know, moment, right?
You never know. I mean, seriously, it's like I've had things in my life that all of a sudden it was like, when it played out a little bit, I sat there and I went, oh my God, the whole trajectory of my life just changed. And I didn't do anything to do it, really. You know what I mean? It showed up. And I was like, oh my God, this is just freaking amazing, right? Mm-hmm. That's the moment that I truly understood the how was not my business, right? That is one of the hardest. I get that, folks. It's one of the hardest things to do. But if you will continue to walk your path in faith and trust, okay, that's when you're setting the, I'll just say energetic. I talk a lot about energetics, but But, you know, energetically, you have to have that opening for that to happen. So if you'll just continue in faith and trust, you are setting the energetics for that to wham, just come in when the time is ready.
So that brings up a huge thing about the trust. Trust in the universe, trust in yourself, trust in your guides.
Isn't it all the same thing?
It is all the same thing. And the thing is, sometimes when you are judging yourself for mistakes or choices that you made, sometimes you don't trust yourself as much anymore.
Let me think about that for a minute.
Or, you know.
well, that's when forgiveness comes into play. That's an easy one, right? Because, you know, it's like I'm a Course in Miracles gal. Anybody who knows me knows that. And in A Course in Miracles, you know, Jesus teaches that the real meaning of forgiveness is that it's forgiveness is forgiving yourself for not seeing the God in another. Mm. Okay? So if you're not seeing the God within yourself, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to see the God within another, right? And that's when you're totally disconnected from the, God, I've never got that term before, from the whole universal wiring that's going on. Mm-hmm. So when you disconnect yourself from that universal wiring, then you're just operating alone. So if you made a mistake in the past, all that means is forgive yourself, don't feel guilty about it, and reconnect to the wiring that you need to. Mm-hmm. That's where trust comes in play. It's not about trusting yourself. Unless you're saying trusting your higher self, mm. right? Because in human form, we came to be embodied for a reason to experience this. But when you're connected totally in human form and you're like just within your own egoic little bitty self here, or if you're connected into collective consciousness and not up into that higher consciousness, you are going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But if you feel guilty about it, you're not going to let yourself reconnect.
Mm-hmm. True. Now, what about, you mentioned also to trust that you're following your path. And so a lot of people in this industry, let's say, are searching for their path, searching for their purpose, wondering if they're on the right path. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, there's only one purpose that we're all living for, and that is to remember our connection, our creator. And I know that's kind of really high level, but I'll explain that and I'll try to pull it down into practical, okay? Mm-hmm. So on the highest level, we thought that we separated from God, okay, our creator. And in that moment, he gave us the answer, which is the Holy Spirit, higher self, whatever it is for you. But as we're maneuvering and operating through this chaotic world that we live in, what we're always aiming for, and there's only one problem, and that one problem is that we believe we're disconnected, mm-hmm. right? So that's on high level. So pull it back down into our practical everyday lives. Every time we catch ourselves operating from the belief that we're separate, alone, not connected to anyone or anything else, that we don't have divine guidance, you know, when we can catch ourselves doing that, and we shift back over into that divine guidance, you know, that's the miracle in A Course in Miracles. Mm-hmm. And A Course in Miracles terminology, as a matter of fact, I have a video I'll send you that you can email out to your list explaining ego and divine self, right? So the moment that we thought we separated, we have what's called a dual mindset. And that's our divine self remembers the universal connection. And the ego self, the little self, is all about separation, right? So the dual mindset is the divine self, the connected self, is love-based thought system, right? The ego self is a fear-based thought system. So anytime you're in fear, you know, you're disconnected. There's so many clues. When I think about it, and of course, you know, I'm 65, so I've been around a while, so I've had a long time to kind of like work some of this stuff out, right? That's why I say I've lent my life experience in it as well. But you know, so it took me a while to really understand, you know, the miracle in the Course in Miracles is shifting back from that fear-based into the love-based. So when we're looking at anything that's going on, even if you're saying, well, I don't know what my path and my purpose is, that has nothing to do with your God self. That has nothing to do with your divine self. That's your little separate self saying, I need to be defined a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I know there are tons of people that they make a fortune telling you, they're going to tell you what your purpose is, but the only one who can really see that is you. And your purpose is to remember your connection to your creator and to experience peace, love, joy, and abundance while you're here. You came here to experience all of that. You get to choose how you're going to do it. Now, there's clues. I mean, you know, on a side look at souls, I know that we all have, dominant energy centers that explain our gifts and our skill levels from the soul level. And I know astrology is very legitimate, and so is human design, and so is, when you look at your hand analysis, your handprints. Every bit of that is a part of your body and a part of you that gives you clues as to what it is that you really would like, the way that you would like to create your abundance. But there is no job description. You do not come in with a job description saying, you're not going to be happy and you're not going to make money unless you do this. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I kind of rambled a little.
No, that's great. No, I'm glad you shared that, because it kind of puts people, gets them off the hook a little bit. And instead, it's about really going within and asking what would be fun for you, you know?
Yeah, what brings you joy, right? Mm-hmm. What brings you joy? And then you can look at the results, right? And if you're getting your results as abundance, then hey, you're on the right path. If it's not, it's kind of like, okay, let's course correct a little bit here. But so many people feel like, okay, so if you're sitting there and going, like I said, there's no job description. I don't know, like my purpose is to help heal the world. Well, I think that's a purpose of all of us, or many of us. I don't think everybody will take that back. But okay, so if that's your purpose, how you do that is up to you.
Yeah.
It's totally up to you. But if you're thinking, I have not found my purpose and I have not found my path to that purpose, that's totally from your ego, totally from your ego. And by doing that very thing, you're blocking yourself from finding what it is would bring you joy.
So what? So for those of us who may be looking, is it just a matter of asking the question, what would be fun for you? What do you feel like doing? What's joyful? Try that.
Yes, what brings you peace, love, joy, and abundance, right? Because if you have the peace, the love, and the joy, and you don't have any abundance to be able to, you know, experience some cool things, you know, then it's going to be, yeah, okay, but that's fun. But, you know, because some people really like money. Some people really could care less about money. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the people who said they could care less about money, they don't realize that they're really doing themselves a disservice, because there's a disconnect of participating in the world that they live in. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's not about escaping the world that you came here to help heal. You cannot help heal the world if you're not participating in it. And if you can't pay your light bill and you're sitting there feeling like crap because you can't pay your light bill, there's nothing spiritual about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
People like hearing that, but you know, it's the truth if you think about it. If you're spiritual, then can't you tap into to the abundance part of yourself and figure out ways to make the money that you want, to have the experience that you want? I don't know, it just seems logical to me.
Or are you wanting that experience of lack and scarcity so that you can prove that being spiritual is a good thing?
You can be, that's victim mentality. I'm sorry I winced when you said that, because you're right. It's like people, I can't even think of a word for it, but it is like spiritual arrogance in a sense, you know, like, yeah. Oh, I'm so spiritual, I don't need money in this world. Well, great, they go sit on a mountaintop and, you know, navel gaze. And if that's your purpose, if that's what you want to do, awesome, go do it, but don't damage other people, right? Because if you're not paying your light bill, guess what? There are people at that light company that are suffering for it, so. Mm.
And that's interesting, because you're right. It's just a choice, right? So whether you are making money or not making money, that's a choice. You know, you don't have to.
If you're choosing not to, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But don't expect that other people should jump on that bandwagon with you. Yeah. Don't damage other people. You know, being operating from your divine self and being self-actualized and being a you know, like working on self-improvement and being a responsible person in this world, you would never, ever, ever do anything for yourself that would harm another person. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. It's like, well, you know, I'm laughing because I just thought about this. You know, it's like coaches that I worked with, and it's like, well, you know, that's because you're not doing what I told you to. Well, no, it's that what you told me to do doesn't fit with me. So, you know, there's not, but they make you think that there's something wrong with you. Right. There's nothing wrong with you. So I'm not, please, by no means, I'm not telling you there's something wrong with you if you don't have the money that you want. But what I'm telling you is step back and look at why you're creating that. Because every single thing in your life, you create yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and it could be, you know, it could be that, you know, that the reason that you do feel more comfortable living in lack and being a victim is because somebody taught you that. Mm-hmm. So somebody taught you that, let's go back full circle. That's a belief you have. That's part of your house of sticks, right?
Right.
And the big bad wolf, I'll be the big bad wolf for you, and I will just blow that sucker down. So you better go find your bricks and start building the house that you really want.
I love that. It's true though, right? Because like one of the beliefs that I've been holding for a long time, and I don't know if it's still there, but anyway, it's, you know, because of the way how I was raised and brought up, was that spiritual people didn't have money. You know, it's like they were given money by people. So, you know, but they didn't have money themselves because they were busy being spiritual.
You have to have it yourself. I mean, it's, and I used to say this years ago and I just popped in and it is true. Mother Teresa took a vow of poverty, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much money do you think that woman had at her disposal?
At her disposal. Yeah, absolutely.
At her disposal. You see, we have this screwed up thing in our head that we have to, I can have my wallet laying here. It's my money. Only I have access to it, right? Who came up with that idea? Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or
so it's the whole thing is at your disposal. And you know what? I've never in my life ever not had what I needed when I got into like maybe dire straits or whatever. It showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't think of a situation for myself either where I didn't have what I needed, you know?
Right, it always shows up. That's that trust factor, right? You have to trust. If you really need it, it's going to show up. Or if you really desire it, right? You know?
Mm. So. Yeah, interesting. It's just interesting how those some of those old beliefs can be, like, still there in really weird ways. You were sorry?
They are so hidden.
Yeah.
They are so hidden. I mean, it's like we protect them. We put iron walls in front of them. Right?
Yeah.
But when you start working on yourself and you start working on your self-improvement and you realize, you know what? I understand that I'm a spiritual person. I understand I'm a spiritual being, but something's not working. Why is that? You know, that's when you're at that moment where you're ready to see that it's not an iron wall. It's just a little veil.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. When you're willing to ask that question of, or saying, okay, you know what, this doesn't work for me. So what will work for me? What does work for me? This doesn't work for me anymore. And right. I now it's like, you know what, I want something different.
Well, sometimes it's because we want to look at the contrast. And what that means is that, okay, so we're not really sure what it is that we want, but we know what we have or what's going on is not serving us and doesn't feel good. And so So instead of saying, oh my God, I put all that time and money and effort into it, then what you need to do is go, okay, say, wait a minute, that was just to give me contrast. So now I know that I don't want that. So let me look at what is kind of sort of like that, but that I really do want, right? And usually when that happens, and you know, I find this, both myself included, it's usually something somebody else told me I was supposed to want, you know?
So. Oh, wow, absolutely. Yeah. How many things that we say we want is because somebody else projected that onto us or said that would be great. That is not really ours.
Here's a really interesting thing I thought of one time. It's like, okay, so if a belief is something that can be changed, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's just a belief. Now, There's a couple of sides to that, though. See, if you believe it, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's true for you.
Right.
Okay. Doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. So what you have to look at is, okay, so is it eternal, right? Course in Miracles, the beginning says nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So if it's not eternal, right, then it's not real. It's something that we made up here, you know, where we are now. So then if you look at that and you go, okay, so I believe this, so it's true for me, but can it be different? Can it be, could somebody else have the exact opposite belief and it be true for them? Mm-hmm. Then you know it's not eternal, and that means you can change it. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. But how do you change it?
Well, it's different for every person in every situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The very first thing is to recognize what it is. And once you know what it is, it's pretty much healed to begin with. However, because it's energetically in your, you know, being, then you need to sit and go, okay, have a talk with yourself, and I mean that your higher self, and say, what do I need to do to release this, but what do I need to replace it with?
Mm-hmm.
If you release it and you don't replace it, you're going to take it back, right? So the most important thing is, first of all, recognizing it. Because once you recognize it, your ego can no longer use it to mess with you, in other words.
Right.
So the way that you, and your question was, how do you release it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It depends. There's, you know, like when that happens with me, I have several different people that I work with, and it depends on what it is, but I'm laughing because, okay, so what I do is I sit back and, okay, so this isn't serving me. I see that I have this, you know, crazy ass beliefs and I need to get rid of it. And then I say, who's going to have, I can't do it myself, right? Some things I can do myself, but some things I can't. And so I say, who's the best person to help me with this? And I always get a hit and I always know.
Cool. Thank you.
And if you don't, you just keep trying.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Never, ever, ever, ever quit.
Yeah. Never give up. Never quit. Oh, and how many times have we done that, you know, with our lives, with everything? I remember I used to say that all the time. I give up. I quit. I give up. I give up. I quit. And sometimes it's just, I realize now it's like, it's not really me giving up or quitting. It's me giving up or quitting that thought. It's like, oh, this is not working. Right. I give up, you know?
Right.
But it's not really.
And another thing that I do for myself is I really, one of my litmus tests is like, if something's going on or a thought or a belief or whatever, I'll stop and I'll say, okay, is this empowering me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm laughing, but we do tend to focus and execute on things that are not empowering to us.
Mm-hmm. True. It's what we know. It's what we're used to. And it's how we've been conditioned to in this reality, in this society.
Exactly. However, you have the beautiful, wonderful power of thought and free will. So you're the one in control.
Cool.
You know, once you take the responsibility.
Yeah.
Yay, rah.
Absolutely. So I don't know what Randy mentioned by biophotons. So maybe you can write that in there again, Randy. And then Caroline's asking.
I put my glasses on if you're reading. So am I reading it or you're reading it?
I'll read it out loud. It says, Caroline says, hi, in 2 years, I want to retire from my government job. When I'm retired, I will not have enough money to pay the current mortgage. I will have to sell everything and rent in a minimal environment in order to have money to live. How do I pay off $250,000 in 2 years?
Okay, so the very, I'm laughing because, gee, it's like there's only one thing you can do is pay off that mortgage to live the way you want to live. You see, you're totally telling the universe how it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So read the beginning part again.
She says, I want to retire from my government job. And when I'm retired, I will not have enough money to pay the current mortgage. I'll have to sell everything and rent in a minimal environment in order to have money to live.
Okay. Okay. So I will have to sell everything and
Rent in a minimal environment.
In a minimal environment. Okay, so basically you are setting your life totally up the way the world tells you to. And I'm going to share this with you guys, okay? I live in a four-bedroom, three-bath house. It's like 2,300 square feet. Love my yard. I have a pool and, you know, like beautiful, you know, foliage from the desert. I have like a lemon tree and all. Love my house. Got a beautiful office in my house. And about a year ago, I started looking at stuff and I said, I really should make it. You're going to appreciate this. So that I can just totally live on my Social Security and I don't have to worry, because then I'll never have any fears and nothing bad will ever happen. And I'll be set and I can just survive till I die. and I'm laughing at now. That was this belief that the world has taught me came screaming at me. This is what you're supposed to do. You got to downsize. You're old now. You have to downsize. So we started looking at smaller houses. And the crazy thing is, because the way the housing market is, it's not that less expensive to move into a house that's 1,400 square feet, right? But we put an offer in on a house. And that night, I was laying in my bed and my eyes started leaking. No, seriously, I was not crying, mm-hmm. right? But they were leaking. I just had like tears, but they weren't like, or like I was crying tears. It was just, you know, like running down my face. And I laid there and I thought, that's really interesting. What is this about? And I got the message, you don't really want to downsize. You love your house. You love your yard. Why are you doing this? And so I thought, well, okay. So, but we already put the offer in on the house. So whatever it is, I made the decision. I made the choice. I've got to go with it, right? So the next morning I got a call from my real estate agent. They didn't accept our offer. So I sat and I thought, why was I doing this? And what I realized was my belief was the way we're taught in this world, you work, you do all of this. When you get a certain age, you downsize, you move into a smaller house. From the smaller house, you go into a retirement home, and then you go into the box in the ground. And that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to happen to you, right? So, I sat back and I thought about it. I said, I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And if I'll do it if I ever have to, but how do I know I will ever have to, right? I might not. How do I know? So for now, I'm still in my house with my beautiful yard. And as long as we can maintain it, I will be here. Mm-hmm. So I just shared that with you because I want you to understand, I thought that I had to play it out exactly the way I was taught to play it out. And you know what? Since I've done that, amazing things have happened to me in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the funny thing is, when I think about retirement, I don't know what that means. I think, it's like for me, what I do is fun for me, so the work that I do is fun. So why would I retire from it? It's like, what am I going to do if I retire? It's like, what, sit around watching Netflix all day? I don't think so. That's, it's like, no, that doesn't work for me. And maybe there are some other things that I'm not doing that I could do, but I have no idea. So I don't even think about retirement, but
it's not being happy, isn't it?
And doing whatever is fun for you.
I'm going to use the name of your show to make another point to the person who wrote that. It's Awaken to Happiness Now, correct? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are not happy in the now because you are so busy focusing on what you think you could happen in the future when you have no clue. You have no clue. I'm serious. There's no clue. I mean, you might have a rich aunt, uncle in Europe that you don't even know about that one day you'll inherit $500,000. You don't know. But you're so busy trying to set up the way it should look that you're miserable in the now, worrying about the future. Awaken to happiness now. Not tomorrow. Not when you figure out how it's all going to work out in your life, because you have no clue.
Yeah.
There are people in this world, I guarantee you, will tell you something happen in a moment that totally changed their entire life.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So Randy says, a guy ran in front of my car, then sued for 3 years, so I did not want more money because they were just going to take it, and have not found enough income yet since then.
Okay, so, all right, so you have a fear that if you have money, somebody's going to take it from you. I mean, that's kind of obvious to me, but that's because of the work I do. So you need to figure out why you still have that belief, okay? And, you know, maybe, okay, so, sorry, but I'm this kind of person. I believe everything happens for a reason, right? So maybe that happened for you to be able to see that you get to decide whether you want money or not, right? Because obviously you're good at manifesting because you manifested not having money for the person to take, right? So you need to look at why you're still holding on to that belief, where that belief came from in the first place. And, you know, if you could do it that way, you can certainly turn it around and do it the other way.
Hmm. That's what we forget, that, you know, we are such magnificent creators that, you know, right. And we don't see that. We don't acknowledge that. And so what if you can acknowledge what you have created and then choose to create something else, right?
Exactly.
But we don't. We don't see it. We just don't see it, and we don't acknowledge it, because
right.
Yeah.
So I hope that answered Randy's question or gave Randy a direction to go with that.
Cool. Thank you.
He can do it. I know he can. He did it. He did it already. He's got the power.
And that's the thing. We are so powerful, right? That we can create something that we are creating all the time. You know, every
we
day.
Are. Right. Sometimes we're miscreating. Sometimes we're creating what we don't want instead of what we do want. So,
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to take a few moments, Sharon, to talk about your special offer. So for those of you who are live right now and on the live page, you can just click on special offer. And those of you who are not, you can go to awakentohappinessnow.com/Sharon15. Yeah, there we go. And this is about maneuvering through chaos?
It is. It's one of my favorite classes I ever created. It's a 4-part class. And so when you do the class, a lot of times what I found was, you know, and I did it myself, I would buy programs and never do them, right? Mm-hmm. So I made this and people are, oh, I don't have time. It takes so much time. And, you know, we're so busy. So Spirit actually guided me in doing this one. It's a slide presentation with me talking for about 30 minutes, setting up what the exercise is and explaining to you how to do the exercise for yourself. And it's a progressive type thing. And the people who have done this program have just had amazing results. The beauty of it is you can take the process, and anytime you're having chaos or only seeing chaos within your life, you can go back and do it again, mm-hmm. right? And it's probably one of the most powerful things. And I've created some good stuff that I think, you know, but it's probably one of the most powerful programs that I created. And I just created it, you know, like 2 months ago. Okay. So it's new information. Mm-hmm. And I did it because I saw there were so many people latching on to, a ton of negativity in this world right now. And, all you got to do is log on Facebook, and whether you watch the news or not, it's all going to pop right in your face. And even people that I know that are very spiritual, very loving and kind people were jumping on the negative bandwagon, right? And so I thought, that's just, you know, they're buying into the chaos. So I've got to, actually, I didn't think, I was told this, right? So find a way, work on this, download this, and help people find a way to work their way through it, okay? Mm-hmm. And just so you know, it's the very first class is to help you figure out what you're working on. Yeah, every single thing that's showing up bad in your life falls into one of three categories: health, wealth, or relationships. Mm-hmm. So you can hit on any one of those in this program. It's really, It's really good stuff. You know, if I must say so myself, but I've gotten really, really good feedback. So.
Cool. Thank you. And so this, it's just four classes. It's $97 and it's like do it at your own pace kind of thing, right?
Exactly. Yes. And it won't take you that long to do because here's what I do in it. Okay. So I explain how to do it. I give you the process to do, mm-hmm. and then you have the answer. And then you should take a little, you want to take time and let it integrate. And then you'll start seeing how that particular part of the process is showing up in your life. So it doesn't take, I swear to you guys, it doesn't take a long time and it's life changing.
Mm. I love that because, you know, sometimes we're not even aware of stuff that is, that we're creating, that we're choosing and how it's affecting our lives. We just know there's something that's not working.
And this is going to empower you. You know, it's not about me. It's not the Sharon show. And it's not like, you know, any brilliance that I have only because I've been here for 65 years. But anyway. But what it is, it's about you and it's about empowering you because once you have this information and once you see the way it works, you're going to use it the rest of your life.
Hmm. Cool. I like that. I love being able to empower people because I think, you know, that's so important that they can use the tools themselves, use the process themselves.
I can do stuff. You can do a session with me. I can do an Akashic Record session with you and, you know, give you the stuff that you need right then. But it's more powerful if you know how to do it for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you. So again, that's available at awakenthehappinessnow.com/Sharon15. So please do take a look at it. I know there's a short video there that you can watch with Sharon at the beginning. And
The one I was going to send you. I'm laughing, but I just thought about it. When I said I did a really good video on explaining the difference between divine self and ego.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, and that's, I ask everybody to please watch it before they do the class. So what I'll do is I'll send you the link and you can just email it to everybody and they can just watch it if they choose or not, or you can put it on the page. So let me make a note so I don't forget I told you that. So if you buy the class, then you will have already watched that PowerPoint. And that one's only like 30 minutes. So I know you guys have a short attention span, okay? The world of technology.
Yes. No, thank you. I appreciate that. And you know how this, this series is called Awaken to Happiness Now, right? And it's always about, you know, empowerment, raising your vibration, creating your life, changing what isn't working, right?
Right.
And so that's what your program is about, changing what isn't working, right?
Correct. And how to maneuver. The reason I call it maneuvering through chaos is because you're still going to see chaos in your life, like it or not. I mean, you're a human being. But if you can recognize it and you know how to maneuver through it, oh my God, you know, what more could you want, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good. Thank you. And so what about, you know, I love to empower our audience with techniques or tips or something about, you know, raising your vibration, getting you to that point where you know that something else is possible, something more is possible for yourself.
Right.
Can you share something about how we can raise our vibration so that we can start to
pay attention to where your focus is? Mm. Okay. And I have a favorite story that I tell, and it's, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it's about the two-headed wolf. And y'all may have heard it, but just bear with me because I put a little extra spin on it at the end.
Ah,
so a grandfather, in an indigenous cultures always use this. The grandfather was talking to the grandson and he said, within all of us, there's a battle going on with our two-headed wolf. And the grandson says, what do you mean? And he said, well, one head of the wolf is always telling us all the beautiful, wonderful things about ourselves, why we can create, what we can create, how we have the life that we want. The other head is always telling us what's wrong with us, okay? You're bad, you can't do this, why you can't do it, you know, doubt, fear, worry, the whole nine yards. And so he said, and they're always battling one another. And the grandson says, well, who wins the battle? And the grandfather says, the one you feed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's about paying attention to which part of yourself you're feeding, all right? And that's all about the focus. What are you focusing on? But I want you guys to understand the important caveat to this is when you're paying attention to one, you're ignoring the other, all right? And what I mean by that is if you're paying attention to the negative head and the positive head is there as well, when you're paying attention to this one, you are totally ignoring this one. And vice versa. So if you will pay attention and focus on the positive in your life, if you will live your life in that peace, love, joy, gratitude. Gratitude is the energy of being connected to your divine self, right? Mm-hmm. It's the most powerful energy here on earth that we have. So if you will focus on gratitude for what you have while looking towards the desire of what you want to create, right? And if you will do that focus and then you will execute on what comes to you from what you're focusing on, that's how you're going to create the life, the business, the happiness that you desire.
Beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, I was going to mention that too about the gratitude. And the gratitude, you know, when you're being grateful or and having gratitude for everything that you're experiencing in life, the good, bad, the ugly, everything, including you, especially you.
Yeah, well, good and bad is a matter of perception anyway. You know, there are things that I think are bad for me that you would probably think are good for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But being grateful for all of it, you know, changes your whole perspective on everything.
It does. Absolutely does.
Right? It softens your heart. It lightens you up. It brings to you more possibilities. Right? It shows you more possibilities.
Exactly.
When you're in that grateful space and in the space of gratitude, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
So I that's always my number one tool in my toolbox is gratitude. And it works, you know, it's like
it works.
So
yeah, we think simple things. Oh, that's too simple.
I know, right? And then but you're right. That the focus on, you know, the two wolves, which one are you feeding? Right?
Exactly.
And being aware of which one you're feeding. Because sometimes we're not. We're just like on automatic pilot and we're not conscious or aware of what's going on. But so it's about being present and being more aware of your thoughts, your feelings, and emotions. And, you know, which wolf is getting all the good tidbits, right? So
exactly.
I'll just snap.
If you don't know what you get from that, then that means take action on it, right? You've got to take action. If you want to create in the physical world, you have to take action in the physical world.
Absolutely. Yeah. yep. There's really nothing else more to that other than...
I know. Huh? Yes. It's kind of like, bam, that's it.
You know, and it's about continuing to create, continuing to ask questions, continue to choose. And
if you don't like what's showing up, excuse me, choose again.
Yeah.
Choose again. You can choose as many times as you want.
Yeah. And you can even ask, okay, what action can I take today to create this? Whatever this is, you know?
Right.
What action can I create today to have this show up, whatever this is, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sharon. This was amazing. I love empowering programs. I love empowering tools and processes that people can use themselves on a daily basis to shift what's going on.
If anybody has any questions, by the way, if anybody has any questions about the program or anything, I'm very accessible. Just tell them to shoot me an email at info. support@connectingwithsoul.com.
Beautiful. Thank you. So if you have any questions about the program, you can email Sharon at support@connectingwithsoul.com.
Correct.
Yay.
And I'll send you that when I send you the link for the video I'm going to share with your audience.
Perfect. Yeah. So I will send a video later today or tomorrow. And with that, you'll have the email as well. So yay.
And Alara, thank you from the bottom of my heart for the wonderful things that you do in this world by doing this show and all the other things that you do to empower people.
Thank you so much, Sharon. And absolutely, you know, this is about, you know, what can we all do to empower others and yourself, right? So it's not just about others, but yourself as well.
So, well, when you're empowering others, you are empowering yourself. Right? Because we're all connected.
We are all connected. Absolutely. All right, everyone. So thank you so much for being here, spending time with us. I'm so grateful for all of you, you know, sending you so much love and blessings. And until next time, continue to live your life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Bye for now.